भागवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय
More or less, we looked at verses 1 to 6 on Thursday in chapter 5. What did we do?
Sannyasi.
We were discussing about two types of sannyasis. The Mayavadis and the Vaishnavas. How does that relate to the text?
Arjuna asked the question whether it was better for a person to be in work, doing work in devotion or renunciation of work.
Yeah.
And then Krishna replies, the results of both are same, but still the work in devotion is better than renunciation because it is easy.
Anybody else like to make a comment? Anything else? Who wants to be a sannyasi? As recommended by Krishna. Sannyasi doesn't mean
action in Krishna consciousness.
That's what it means.
That's what I
want
to
do. Yeah. Yeah. We should all want to be sannyasis, so that's the case. Right. Now. So externally, it appears as if the karma yogi is attached. Right? It appears as if he's attached. But actually, internally, he's detached because of his or her knowledge, jnana. So they have a superior understanding. The karma yogi has a superior understanding of things. So rather than just renounce things, he knows how to use them in connection with Krishna, so that although it appears he's performing the same types of activities as a materialistic person, actually because of his superior knowledge, he's actually renounced because he's not using them for himself. And of course, this is pivotal to this chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, or most of the Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge of the devotee. And the actions of a devotee are very different to those of a materialist. The devotee, or a person in Krishna consciousness, as is mentioned, the next verse is coming up. One who is yukta, or one who is yoginaha, one who is engaged in devotional service, basically, is not the cause of action, but rather he's acting out of duty. It's the consciousness of the devotee. Whereas a materialistic person, they're motivated by their material desires, and so in that sense, they're the cause of action. This is discussed at length, coming up. What is the cause of action? Or who is the cause of action? As we were discussing before, you know, who is the cause? If it's not Krishna and it's not the secret soul, if it's not Krishna, who's the cause? If it's not, or who's the doer, should I say? If it's not Krishna and if it's not the living entity and it's not the material energy, then who is it? Although, actually, as we discussed, it's a combination of them. Now, this is the difference between a Vaishnava sannyasi, who can be anybody really, is a person who understands that it's not mine, so therefore they're renounced or detached from it, but they're attached to working on behalf of Krishna and using those things in Krishna's service, whereas a Mayavadi tends to renounce. Of course, the danger in that kind of renunciation is that one is still attached. And the beauty of the Karma Yoga system is that one who is still somewhat attached can, by performing one's duties, performing the sacrifice of acting according to one's vana and one's ashram, these are the prescribed methods of behavior given in the Shastra, recommended or adjusted by the spiritual master according to translation circumstance. An attached person, a person who's still somewhat attached, can become purified gradually. Okay, now, we're going to look at text number 7. From 7 to 12, Krishna explains the consciousness of a person who...
For the service we are doing, we try to be more sincere.
More sincere. What do you do to be more sincere?
Actually serve others.
Right. See? Render service to others. What have you got there, Manoj?
First of all, we should practice Krishna perfectly, not only by action, words and action. We should think everybody, others, is a part and parcel of Krishna.
Yeah.
We should give respect to them.
Yeah.
And also preach upon the time, place, and upon the level of a person. So we can, we should not say that you are not a devotee or non devotee or high devotee or something.
Treat people according to their level of understanding. Yep. That's good. What about that second one? What's that one?
Think everyone is part and parcel of Krishna.
Think everybody is part and parcel of Krishna. Can anybody think of an extension of that understanding?
It's a Vidya Vinyas. Vidya Vinyas on her next.
Possibly. See everybody equally.
Super
soul is present in everyone. There's a Christian saying, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Or is it Atmavat Sarvabhuteshu? Do unto others as you would do unto yourself, basically. Same thing. Because you're also a servant of Krishna. Hopefully, aspiring servant of Krishna. So, treat others as you would like to be treated yourself. Rather than treat everybody nicely because they're servants of Krishna. Which is the same thing, basically, but if you relate it back to yourself, then you tend to be a little bit more mindful of the needs of others.
Actually, halfway through, I would ask you a question, whether others means between the community of the devotees or outside the community of the devotees? Too late to ask.
No. What's the answer to that question?
Everybody.
Yeah. But as you mentioned, we will treat a person differently depending on their relationship with the devotees, or their relationship to Krishna, or their understanding of their relationship to Krishna. Right? At night, Arjuna would be friendly to his enemies, but in the daytime, he'd be trying to hack them to bits. What else?
Because the last point, we have to try to develop the taste to others by distributing prasadam or inviting others to temple. What's the other aspects? Making a relationship, with them.
Yeah. Yes, that's interesting. What did Prabhupada say? The duty of a householder was? Rich, maybe. What was the duty of the householder? Special duties of a householder.
Serving
prasadam.
Huh? Distributing prasadam.
Yeah, whenever he cooks a meal, the wife cooks a meal, then he goes out in the street and calls out, does anybody want to come and take prasadam? Right? Interesting.
Just a question regarding that, Srila Prabhupada's advice. Is that practical? I mean, if you're cooking in India and you call out for people to come to you.
Is it practical?
My father used to say when I was young, you know, my mother used to say, you know, why do you guys cook more and throw in the bin or something? But she used to say, well, I cook something extra. So at least you never know someone comes, like your relative or friend may come and everything. And his father used to say, my grandfather used to say, at least one person has to wash his hand in our house. That means not washing hand, but after eating. So that was a mood of the people before that, you know, at least they have to serve one or two people in their house. I mean, it's not a prasadam, but at least that was a mood. So Prabhupada might say, you know, like, have to.
What does that indicate? What does that teach us?
Caring for others?
Not being selfish. Sharing. Sharing. Being naturally concerned for the welfare of others. Knowing then that one will also be looked after. It's a very different, it's a community-minded approach to things. As opposed to the opposite, which is pretty much the underpinning of modern society. You know, what do we have? We have the me generation. Right? The me generation. What does that say? What kind of consciousness is that when you're thinking of the benefit of others?
Compassion,
yeah. What else is it?
Service.
You want to bring them to Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, you want to bring them to Krishna consciousness. What about, what kind of vision does that, what kind of vision underpins that kind of mentality?
That we are all part and parcel and we are all brothers.
Yeah.
So we are
all relations, not just our family.
Non-envious.
Non-envious. Who's a famous example of this principle in the Srimad Bhagavatam? His name starts with an R.
Runti Dev.
What's the story of Runti Dev?
Last mouthful of food he was having, he used to give it to people who come and not eat himself, suppose.
Yeah.
And finally, the devotees come in disguise and suggest him that
Who did he give his food to?
Shiva?
No, well, yes. Directly, that's who he was giving it to, but what form did the persons take? Yeah, one came as a man with his dogs. And he fed him. And his dogs. Wasn't it a pigeon or something? Was it a pigeon? I can't remember the story. You know, Runty Dave had been performing a big austerity, fasting, and you know, his final morsel, he gave away his final morsel of food that was left from his offering, and it was actually the demigods who had come to test his devotion. So he got, sorry, is it practical? If you feed others, what's the fear? Oh, what about me? But the example there is that if you feed others, then automatically you'll get looked after. Especially around here, I mean, gee whiz. Nobody. I mean, when you think about it, we spend most of our, or a lot of our time feeding others with prasadam. Right? And Prabhupada said, let every hungry man of Melbourne come and eat. So there's our, you know, we have our, the order of our guru. Right? Sometimes people worry, oh, look at all of these people coming to the temple. We're scared. We're scared that they might do something to us. They won't do anything to us. We're feeding them. They're grateful of the... Interesting thing is, you know, once... A couple of years ago, there was one fellow causing disturbance here in the temple at prasadam time. And the other fellows that came, I said, listen, will you cut it out? This is the temple. Behave yourself. Right? So, sometimes we get a disturbance. Sometimes somebody mentally disturbed comes and... But the police are very friendly to us. They'll remove them if they're a real big problem. But we work on that principle, you know. Feed people. But of course, not just feed people. Give them prasadam. It's not actually feeding people as such. We're trying to help them spiritually. And of course, people benefit immensely. Spiritually. Okay, what else is there? There's a couple of other important points. Any other points that we haven't covered here? Pinch Rupa.
Being Krishna conscious, pure consciousness,
by controlling the mind and the senses, fixing the mind on Krishna, directly to see or hear or go in Krishna's
name. Right. What does that mean, to control the mind and senses?
You cannot be offensive.
That may be a result. That's important. A person, it mentions there that a person who controls the mind and senses won't be committing offences to others.
Or
yeah, sticking to Krishna consciousness, basically. But if you're sticking to Krishna consciousness, that means logically then you'll be working for the benefit of others, right? That's what Krishna consciousness is all about. Understanding the equality of everybody, understanding our relationship, wanting to treat others as you would treat yourself, because, you know, they have feelings and so forth. And then that would then mean that one's not being offensive to others. Was it ipso facto, is that right? Logically, it's deduced. If you're working for the benefit of everybody, then you won't be offensive. Controlling the mind and the senses.
Limiting our desires equally. Limiting our desires and what we want.
Limiting our desires.
Yes.
Controlling our desires. So that's controlling the mind and the senses, isn't it? Yes.
Very much so. I want a big house. I want lots of money. Actually, it's interesting, you see, if you limit your desires, then you save yourself a lot of bother. So not only would you benefit others by not encroaching on what's theirs, you also save yourself a lot of anxiety and effort. What else? Anything else in there?
I think there was engaging in Krishna Gita, was that?
Talking about Krishna, yes. Talking and thinking. And that's what Chintaripa pointed out, that Prabhupada mentions, not, you know, not going anywhere or doing anything where Krishna's not involved. That's quite restrictive in one sense. But actually it's liberating in another, because there's so many things that we can do and so many places we can go where Krishna's involved. Ultimately Krishna's everywhere. Right? Krishna's everywhere, so there's no place that we can't go. It's just that, you know, we might we have to restrict ourselves in that what we do has to be in relationship to Krishna.
It's not really restricting though,
because
we can go to even a beautiful place, so long as you have the proper association, you go with them, and there you go and you appreciate Krishna. You do Krishna
Katha.
So it's not,
we appreciate Krishna.
Surfing.
Huh?
They're appreciating the waves.
The waves of devotion. The waves of devotion to the material energies.
You have a nice cake around the beach and then go for surfing.
Yeah.
By following such standards, then we are going to good examples for others also.
Sorry?
By following such standards, we are good examples to others also.
Yes, setting a good example and they'll be inspired to follow. Yeah? Good.
And I think there's another important part that Asimode Prabhu gave to understanding our duties in different relationships and performing that, the idea that we are all part and parcel of Krishna and we all should become devotees of Krishna.
Yeah.
So, as a mother, then the time word will come to make children Krishna conscious. So, centering the whole life around that.
Yes. Yes. Yep. That's right.
As a social person, we need to attend the social gatherings.
Social gatherings?
Yes.
Yeah.
And how can we tell them we can't eat this one?
How can you tell them?
They can't feel that they feel offensive about us.
Well, it says there that we don't go where Krishna's not involved, so...
Yeah, but as a part of our social media, so, like marriages or official small, like birthday parties, like, we have to go. And how can we tell them to, I can't have this one, they feel offensive or something, right?
Well, isn't this interesting? Superficially, Arjuna was seen to be offensive to his enemies because he's killing them. But actually, he's benefiting them. If we go to somebody's house and eat in their house, who are we benefiting?
No one.
Yeah, no one. We're not benefiting them and we're not benefiting ourselves. So we have to understand who is being offensive. Is it offensive to refuse poison?
If you know what the other person
actually,
yeah, because they're in ignorance.
Actually, even when you go to a birthday party and you don't eat the food, even if the other person feels offensive, if the person starts thinking, why is this person not taking the food? That's also Krishna, he's thinking about Krishna.
Yeah. In other words, it's a challenge for us because we're working on the same assumption, or we're accepting the mentality of those persons as being correct, but actually they have the wrong mentality. So we have to work out how to change their mentality
so that they can see that actually they're the ones who are being offensive and we should be offended. Right? That you can see how traditional Vedic culture has become degraded. Yes, it would be offensive if you refused prasadam offered to Krishna, but it's not offensive to refuse their boga, which has got, you know, all sorts of things in it that you don't want to eat, right? So that, you know, in one sense, superficially, they're demonstrating the, or they're applying the principles of Vedic culture that you should accept a gift or an offering from a friend. But if your friend is offering you some form of poison, why should you accept it? Huh? So you have to tell them, sorry, I choose my poison. Or, you have to be careful. You have to be careful, but it's not offensive. And you just have to tell them, look, for many, if it's in the Indian community, you can just tell them, look, I only eat prasadam. And, you know, I don't think you've offered this to Krishna.
Actually, it's not that they get offensive, but like
offended. They get offended.
Yeah, but they start like blaming us, or like they go into arguments as well. I faced this situation earlier.
Like you're saying, hey, look, it's your problem, mate, not mine. How'd you tell them? Look, I have for years and years resisted my mother's desires to cook for me. But now she knows. She's got to offer it to Krishna first. So now I guess when I go to my parents' place, then, you know, Mum makes sure the offering is done. So she's been trained, take about 30 years, but finally got to realize.
And in another sense, Maya is testing us there. Like
Maya is testing us.
In Krishna consciousness.
Maya is testing us.
Testing us there. So we have to be strong.
You have to be strong. That's right, we have to be strong. Not only that, we have to be sensitive also. Devotee is sensitive to the needs of others, to the concerns of others. But if they're going to offer us some boga or some uneatable thing, then we have to say, you know, according to my vows, I can't eat food that's not offered to Krishna.
Sorry, what can we do? Let us say, for example, if somebody has caught, I know that they have not offered. Okay.
Eat some fruit.
No, basically,
you can take some fruit. You can have a drink of lemonade.
No, at such a party, they say, okay, I would also like to get a dish and discuss it with them. Then take prasada.
Yeah.
So that they get the prasadam, and then when we are eating our prasadam, and when we take their food, since the prasadam is there, so it that also become proper?
No. No, because the consciousness of the person that's cooking goes into the food, and it's got onions or this or whatever.
No.
No. We should. Yeah, this is, you know, this is a test. It's a test of test of Krishna consciousness, I guess, that you have to know the person, know the surroundings, and then, you know, either cook something and bring it along so that there is something you can eat. But definitely you can't mix your prasadam with the boga and then say it's all prasadam.
What about boga if we say that I'm fasting?
Fine. That's what I do sometimes. I tell them I'm fasting.
I just have food.
Because, you know, sometimes I go to religious events and interfaith, and it's, you know, there's cooking done by meat eaters, and they say, oh, but this is vegetarian. I just say, oh, no, today I'm fasting. They like that. Oh, okay.
Also, the point what Mataji was asking, one of the senior devotees told me when I was in.
They ask you how long you're fasting for, I say, until I get home. Do I get back to the temple?
You can also say your allergic discomfort.
Yes. Anything that hasn't been offered to Krishna.
Well, if you take that seriously, that point, when I faced the same thing in India, and when I was asking the same question to the devotees when I was in India, they told me a serious point saying that you have to think every time, if you do anything, you have to think what is the temporary benefit and what is the permanent benefit. I think the temporary benefit is just to please others and satisfy others, unless you're losing something. So I'm pretty not satisfying Krishna.
Yeah, there's a story of the Brahmana who had to eat in the Muslim's house, right? And then the cooking wasn't any good. So he said, my hunger is not satisfied and I've lost my brahminical status. So what was the point? Huh? I'm not a Brahmana anymore and I wasn't even satisfied with what they gave me to eat. Oh, that's a good question. Becoming a devotee means necessarily performing austerities. One of those austerities is having to deal with others who are not devotees and who are somewhat in ignorance. So that's hard. But, like I said, you have to think of the long-term benefit. Short-term benefit, long-term benefits. People may say, oh, the Hare Krishnas are not very social people. But actually, that's not true. We know that's not true. They know it's not true. Okay. So, text 7 to 12 explain the consciousness of one working with detachment. Text 8 and 9. Hang on. A person in the divine consciousness, yuktaha, naiva kinchit karomiti yukta manyeta tatvavit, one who's engaged in the divine consciousness. Krishna explains what that divine consciousness is in the sixth chapter, at the end of the sixth chapter. Yogi nama pisavesham. I was listening to a class this morning, Prabhupada was saying, there are only four things you need to do. Very easy, four things that need to be done. Always think of Krishna and never forget him. Become his devotee. Offer your obeisances to Krishna and work for Krishna. So this is a person in a divine consciousness that they're always thinking of Krishna, never forgetting Krishna. Although engaged in seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, moving about, sleeping and breathing, always knows within himself that he actually does nothing at all. Isn't that interesting, huh? When you're eating, you're not actually doing anything. So it doesn't matter how much you eat. No, that's maybe not right. Because again, a devotee is yuktahara viharasya yuktas kama sachetasu, you know, he's balanced in his behavior. One of the things, if you eat too much, then you definitely get into the bodily concept of life. But we want to remain in the divine consciousness, which helps us then appreciate actually we're not the body.
Yes,
yes, yes, that's right. Because while speaking, evacuating, receiving, or opening or closing his eyes, he always knows that only the material senses are engaged with their objects and that he is aloof from them. Prabhupada gives an example. In this state, Krishna says, neither can chit karomi te yukto manye te tattvavit. I am not doing anything. A Krishna conscious person does not think that he is accomplishing a lot. Ask him, is he going to a certain place, even when it is already agreed that he's going? Ask him, when are you going? He'll say, I do not know when I shall go, but when Krishna asks me or allows me to go, then I shall go. Because we see, as I mentioned before, we see this abused by people, you know, so why are you surrounding Krishna? Oh, when Krishna wants me to, I will. I am saying this from my own practical experience of my Guru Maharaj, my spiritual master. He would never say, I am going, I am doing. But he would say, if Krishna desires, then I shall do it. If Krishna desires, then I shall go. He always depended on Krishna. So if I say, Krishna willing, I will be there. This is called Vishuddhatma. Tattvavit means one who knows the truth. The truth is that I shall only go when Krishna allows me to go. So that's the mood of a devotee. Detached, knowing that the senses, the most material nature, material energy is working. We're just travelling as if in a vehicle. Mind you, as I mentioned before, and as will be discussed here, there is a big difference between a person acting in Krishna consciousness and one who's being propelled or impelled by their own personal desires. One who performs his duty without attachment, surrendering with the results under the Supreme Lord, is unaffected by sinful action as a lotus leaf is untouched by water. So here's the mentality of the devotee. Because Arjuna is about to fight, so it appears ostensibly that he's engaging in abominable activities, killing the enemy, which ordinarily would be considered simple. But because he's acting Brahmani, right? The word here is Brahmani. And Prabhupada says in the beginning of the purport here, Brahmani means in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada gives the example of the soldier fighting on the battlefield. He kills many of the enemy, he gets a medal. Good, well done. Same soldier walks down Burke Street and kills the same number of people. Hey buddy, come in. In jail. Right? Or in other places, hang him up by the neck. Right? So, one who performs his duty without attachment, surrendering the results under the Supreme Lord. And this is the Nishkam Karma Yogi. Detach. Giving the results to Krishna is, the example is given here, is like the lotus leaf. A lotus leaf has a waxy sort of a surface to it. So if you pour any water on it, then the water just drops off. It just rolls off the side. It doesn't get touched by the reactions. Prabhupada says in the purport, one who knows perfectly well that everything belongs to Krishna, that he is the proprietor of everything, and that therefore everything is engaged in the service of the Lord. Again, this is the right mood of renunciation, right mentality. Naturally has nothing to do with the results of his activities, whether virtuous or sinful. Even one's material body, being a gift of the Lord for carrying out a particular type of action, can be engaged in Krishna consciousness. So material actually is not material. It's material when it's engaged in the service of the senses, in the service of the mind and the senses. It is then beyond contamination by simple reactions, exactly as the lotus leaf, though remaining in the water, is not wet. Prabhupada says here, the example is given here of the leaf of the lotus flower, which although it is in the water, has no connection with the water. Not a drop of water will stay there, although it is in the huge mass of water. Waves are going over it, and the water is always moving, but that particular leaf of the lotus flower has no connection with the water. Similarly, with all upheavals of this material world, one who is Krishna conscious is oblivious to such disturbances. So this is how the devotee can be in the world, but not of the world. Right? He's in the engaging, performing his devotional service, and free from the reactions of his activities. Just like Vishal goes to the bank and puts money in the bank. But he understands this is not my money. So there's no reaction for him. Somebody else is going to the bank and putting money in the bank, and they're adding it all up and checking it all. Oh, how much is there? How much can I enjoy? And he's adding it all up and putting it in with the same concern.
We hope.
There's the same amount of concern for detail. But there's no reaction for him doing that. Even if there have been many simple activities performed for the accumulation of that money. Right? In fact, if we were to take that money and to keep it for ourselves, then we would be subject to reactions. Right? But because we're collecting it for Krishna and putting it in Krishna's bank account, we're free from reactions. Bhaktivinoda Thakur would see like that also. Manasa, deho, geho, this house, my mind, my body, everything is yours, Krishna. Actually, I'm just a dog who's guarding your house and your family. This is the mood of the devotee, right? This is your house, your family, Krishna, your money. I'm just looking after it for you. Krishna consciousness is the antiseptic. Oh, this is interesting. If there is an epidemic in a city, a person who has taken the vaccine will not be affected. So there's an epidemic of Maya. And everybody's caught a bad dose. Very high fever. Huh? But the devotees have taken to Krishna consciousness. Similarly, this Krishna consciousness is the antiseptic method, the free one from the contamination of this material world. So lipyate na sapape na. A Krishna conscious person is not affected by the contamination of this material world. Where is that? That must be coming up. Lipyate na sapa pe na. Lipyate is affected, na, never, saha, he, pa pe na, by sin. Free from sin. As a lotus leaf is untouched by water. The conclusion is that a person, this is in the purport, the conclusion is that a person without Krishna consciousness acts according to the concept of the material body and senses, and so he's impelled to act, but he gets reactions. But a person in Krishna consciousness acts according to the knowledge that the body is a property of Krishna and should therefore be engaged in the service of Krishna. Pretty straightforward. The yogis abandoning attachment act with body, mind, intelligence, and even with the senses only for the purpose of purification. So here's their motivation. The devotee's motivation. Yogina kama kuruvanti sangam chaktva. Krishna conscious persons perform actions, giving up their attachment to the results. Why? For what purpose? What purpose?
Purification.
And what is the result? Yeah, that's pretty good. You can anyway. You can answer that for almost all questions. Go back to Godhead.
Next verse explains. Text number 12. Yuktaha karma phalam jakva. Person who gives up the results of all activities to Krishna, what does he get? Shantim apnoti. He achieves peace. Peace, man. Now everybody's looking for peace. Right? They're looking for happiness, which comes as a result of being peaceful. It's what people are looking for. But they go chasing their desires, and what do they get? Peace? Frustration. A devotee doesn't go chasing the desires, but looks for pleasing Krishna, and what does he get? Shantim apnoti. Gets peace. Very important. The steadily devoted soul attains unadulterated peace because he offers the results of all activities to me. So controlled, deliberate action with the right meditation. Whereas a person who is not in union with